Hello and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances and I'll be your hostess. Hello and welcome to episode 143, the Me and My New Friend Annie, that would be Annie Smith to you, episode. Yes, I had dinner with Annie Smith and it was so fun. She is fabulous and just as nice as she sounds on her podcast. So, and speaking of which, the good news is she will be podcasting again, she thinks, this fall. So, yay. In the Quilt Diaries, I talk about our dinner, and I also have just a snippet of an interview with Annie. It's just a few minutes, but I wanted to, first of all, get some oral, confirmation that we did indeed have dinner, but also just so you could hear her voice once again. If you want to see a picture of me and Annie, there's one up. Annie, that would be Annie Smith to you. Yeah, that's going to happen a lot this episode. Go over to theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. I want to make this introduction pretty brief because I have a lot of quilt diaries. Also, if you go over to the WordPress site, you will see a picture of the finished Nova quilt top. Yes, yay! And a close-up of one of the corners so you can really see what's going on there. I'm really happy. I went to Thimble Pleasures yesterday and got the fabrics, and they do what I wanted them to do, which was warm up the quilt a little bit. I was feeling the quilt was tilting cool, and I wanted it not to be so cool, and I think, I'm very pleased. So now on to the quilting, and I'll need to think about that. Yes. I believe I mentioned at some point when I'm talking in the Quilt Diaries, the International Quilt Study Center, which I'm sure most of you are familiar with. I did put a link in the show notes. Yeah, I did show notes. Crazy me. If you haven't been, you should go. It's just a really interesting site, and you can watch vidcasts of their lectures. All you have to do is go into the iTunes store and search for International Quilt Study Center, and you will get the lectures. Most of them are vidcasts, a few are podcasts. And, you know, my interest in quilting history, it ebbs and flows, waxes and wanes, but I'm always very interested when it gets closely tied into women's lives. Like, I'm not interested in the history of fabric particularly, but when we're talking about specific women and specific quilts, I'm always fascinated. There's a really good lecture that I'm watching right now on the quilts of Nebraska, and I think it's number 15 on the list of the vidcasts. And I believe the lecturer, her name may be Susan Cruz or Nancy Cruz, but in any event, I'm almost positive it's number 15. And it's I'm in the part where it's the 1800s, and she's talking about women pioneers and, you know, subsequent generations. And one of the things that she says just really touched me. She talked about how these women, it was a hard life. It was a hard-working life. And if you were creative, if you were an artist, there wasn't a lot of outlet for that. But, you know, and it's not just for women, but for men too. But one of the reasons that women turned to quilt making, creative women turned to quilt making, because it was a kind of art they could make. You know, they couldn't paint and sculpt. They didn't have the time. If they tried to create the time, you know, people would look at them like, what are you doing? And, probably to get the supplies would be very difficult. But quilts are utilitarian. They're useful. And so that was an acceptable way to be creative. And, you know, I think that for me, I take it for granted that no one's going to question if I, you know, when I say, well, I'm going to go work on a quilt, because you know what, I got my house is built, my dishwasher's running, my washing machine and dryer work just fine, and no one has to go out and hunt dinner, so there is that time in my day, there are the financial resources to buy fabric, to go over to Thimble Pleasures and get neat stuff, all that, you know, it's just, I take it for granted that this is, of course, and I think in our culture, we support creativity, not in school, sadly, but in other places, we really do, sometimes in schools, we do too, but, and that's just considered a part of a good life, really, to have a hobby, to do something creative and interesting and neat. So that was to the idea that quilts, you know, they probably quilt making probably saved some people, if you know what I mean. Just to be able to have that creative outlet. And to be allowed it because you were making something that people used. Anyway, I'm going on longer than I intended to do here because, again, got a lot of quilt diaries. But I did want to say thank you to the people who commented. I got comments from Margaret K. And I wanted to mention, share with you a show that she recommended on Netflix. It's a young adult. She calls it a YA show. Called Dance Academy. It's about a ballet high school in Australia. So, and she's watching it. She watched it with her daughter, and they enjoyed it. So thanks, Margaret. I am always looking for something to watch while I'm quilting, and I'm done listening to all my podcasts. Heard from Emily Hinkle, also a friend of Annie's. That would be Annie Smith to everyone, but, you know, me and Emily. And Emily, Annie spoke very highly of you and just talked about how wonderful you are. So there you have it. Heard from Robin. Heard from the wonderful Jay, who, once again, every once in a while, every few podcasts, I have to go on and on about how great Jay is. And I do it this time, too. So yay, Jay. Anyway, let's see. Heard from Laura, who, like me, sews on an old Bernina. Hers is 18. I think mine is 20-some. I don't know. I'll have to ask my mom. But yes, mom is back in the Bernina fold, and we have welcomed her. And Laura, like other people I know, recommend highly the Louise Penny books. And she's got a new one coming out. I have read a couple, and I, you know, for me, here's the thing with mysteries. I have to be in the mood for them. I like the Louise Penny ones are some of the best that I've read, the most enjoyable. One of the things I just realized this the other day, I was thinking about it, about mysteries in general. I think why I'm resistant to them is because I know that the stories are in service of plot. And I, as a reader, am in love with characters. And as a writer, write books that are in service of character. Now, Louise Penny creates wonderful characters who you want to spend time with. So I think she, better than many, many writers, does that. But I know mystery, things are going to be sacrificed for the story. Characters will be sacrificed for the story, literally. So there you have it. But I do like the Louise Penny books, and I would also recommend those. Heard from AJ Dubb, and yes, and I think she was my first commenter. Thank you, everybody. I would love to hear from anyone. Just say hi. Tell me what you're reading, what you're working on. You can come over to theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, or you can email me at fdow@nc.rr.com. And I'm going to give you my 50-year-old brain skipping words, but incentive is the word I was looking for, to comment, because I'm going to do a giveaway at the very late podcast anniversary celebration. I am on my fourth year. I think in early May was probably the anniversary, like around May 10th or something, but now it's almost September. That's okay. Anyway, so I want to do a Fat Quarter Shop gift certificate, $25 gift certificate giveaway. But to enter, you have to comment. And I'm going to make the deadline for comments September 30th, which gives you a month to comment. But how about this? And I plan on being a more regular podcaster. I am busy with many projects, so I think I will be, because I like to talk about my projects when I'm working on them. So how about this? Every time you comment, that counts as an entry between now and September 30th. So you can increase your odds by commenting once, twice, three times on every episode I post between now and then. So I hope you will comment. And, you know, if you've not commented before, tell me a little bit about yourself. I like knowing who's listening. All right. Well, I've gone on much too long, but I just enjoy talking to you so much. But anyway, let's get on now with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It is Thursday, August 21st, 2000. 14. Now, by now I expected to have all kinds of quilting news for you, but you know what happened? I got a bug. Not a bad bug. It was last Friday, although in retrospect, it was really coming on Thursday. You know, I am a person of, I would not say high energy. I think high energy would be pushing it, but moderately good energy. You know, like everyone, I have cycles through the day. For me, the really hard part of the day, or the kind of slumpy part, is say from 4 till after dinner. I mean, right after dinner, or maybe even right at dinner. There's something about, but because after dinner, unless I'm really tired or had too much wine, I'm pretty good. I actually get a new burst of energy post-dinner. And in fact, there are times, like if I'm working on a book and just working really hard, and a lot of times my life is, you know, right in the morning and then run errands in the afternoon or go have lunch with a friend. And so when does the house get cleaned? Sometimes never, but other times it's like at 8 o'clock, I'm like, all right, let's do it. Let's clean this bathroom. Let's clean this room. You know, so, but from 4 to, let's say 7 is the slumpy time. So I do have a slumpy time, but when I have my slumpy time, like at 9 a.m., that usually should be a sign that I am coming down with a bug. And sure enough, I did. And I finally kind of realized it Friday. And I think I took Travis out for a walk in the morning, and I came home and just lay down on the couch and I read. And I actually had a great time reading. I read some Marie Bostwick, which I enjoyed, and I am on a big Maeve. I don't know if that's how you say her name, but I'm assuming Binchy kick. You probably know her. She's an Irish writer. She died a couple years ago. Wonderful writer. And I had read many years ago Light a Penny Candle. In fact, I read it very shortly after it was published, or, you know, a couple years after it was published anyway, because I remember very well reading it while I was in college. And it was, it's, you know, somebody in one of the reviews of her work, it like appears in, you know, the inside first pages of a book, how there's blurbs from reviews, and one's like, an intelligent comfort read. And that is, I thought, exactly it. And, you know, I'm always talking about how I'm looking for kind of comfort read books, girl books, chick lit, that's also well written. And that can be hard to find. I think Kate Morton does a good job. And I think Leanne Moriarty does a good job. And Maeve Binchy may be the queen of the good job of this. So I read over the weekend, I read Tara Road, thoroughly enjoyed it. And now I am reading Circle of Friends, which I've never read. I'd seen the movie and remember very much enjoying the movie way back in the day. Sometimes it seems like that came out in the 90s. That was sort of the first movie where Minnie Driver kind of made her debut. And it's lovely. And the book is lovely. And it's just, you know, it is. It is intelligent comfort reading. And one of the things that I like about Maeve Binchy's writing is it's kind of invisible. You know, it doesn't call attention to itself at all. It's not like, wow, this, what a beautiful prose stylist. But at the same time, it's like you're not going, ooh, that was a clunker. Which, you know, someone as great a storyteller as J.K. Rowling, now I don't know. Now that I've said, I'm like, I realize I don't know how to say that. Rowling. Anyway, who's a master storyteller and world builder, but if you've ever read the Harry Potter books out loud to your kids, as a sentence level writer, there are better. There just are. You can't take away from her genius, but on the sentence level, sometimes you're like, I mean, I found myself editing as I was reading out loud to Will, like editing sentences because they were clunky or unclear or what have you. That is not an issue with Maeve Binchy. So her prose does not ring out as being brilliant, but it just tells the story. And so that, in fact, it's been kind of interesting reading these books, trying to figure out how does she do it? How does she keep you reading? How does she create characters? And then she's, you know, and she has great plots and she keeps the action moving. She has intensely long chapters. So you're talking like a 600-page paperback book with maybe like 6 chapters, right? And so, and each chapter is many, many scenes, rotating through different characters. And that's interesting. So I think, and the plot is always moving forward. There's always several things going on at once, and her main characters are so likable. She just does a great job, and it's interesting in both books, Tara Road and now Circle of Friends. Circle of Friends was first, of course. There is a character who's very beautiful. And not totally unsympathetic, but it's kind of, you know, is manipulative and, but, you know, but not unlikable. So that's interesting to me, too. Anyway, so I did a lot of reading, but I did not this weekend as I was feeling just totally wiped out. It was just one of those things. It was like a 48-hour bug, just wiped out, a little bit of a temperature. You know, Will had it. And the man had it afterwards, although, you know, he's so stoic, he won't admit to having anything. But he's like, yeah, my throat's a little scratchy. I'm like, that's not even it. Your throat's not scratchy. You feel wiped out and you're tired. And, yeah, you have a fever. So I'm telling him, this is how you feel. Admit it. But anyway, but 48 hours. And during that 48 hours, I had really planned to go to Thimble Pleasures. That was my big plan for Saturday morning. Thimble Pleasures opens at 10, and I was going to go, and I was going to get help finding borders for the Nova quilt. I am really hoping that the borders will warm it up. It's just a little too cool for my taste, but I think there's some lovely kind of pinkish, periwinkle-ish kind of, there's some warmer colors in, I mean, it's a very blue quilt. But there's some warmer, and there are some pinkish tones and purplish tones. And so I think we can warm it up a little bit with the appropriate application of appropriate borders. That's my hope. So that was my big plan. That did not happen. And, you know, school started on Tuesday, which is yay, school started. It was kind of, you know, it wasn't necessarily ready for school to be over. And, I mean, for summer to be over. And school to start. I wasn't quite, usually I'm just like, let's go, let's get these boys out of here. But we had a very nice summer. So I felt a little ambivalent about getting back into that routine, especially knowing, as I did, that, you know, once you get Jack outside when there's no school and he's getting the sleep he needs, which I think is like at least 10 hours of sleep a night, is, you know, kind of, he's still Jack, he's still cranky. Still doesn't want to share, still very quiet, but is generally sort of pleasant and will tolerate you with an amused grin when you say stupid things and whatever. But once he's back in school, because he doesn't get enough sleep, I mean, he maybe gets 8 hours, maybe, if he goes to bed at 11, which he rarely does, and then he just becomes cranky again because he's so tired. I don't think he's cranky at school. I think he's given all his good stuff away at school. Right, the people at school are getting the fun Jack, the funny, the neat, good friend Jack, and then we get totally irritable Jack here. So that's one of the things. I was like, oh, he's going to go back to school, and bad Jack's coming home. And I'm so right. And, you know, Will's fine, but, you know, he just gets tired. The first week is so tiring, and here we are. I mean, it's 96 degrees today, and, you know, I don't complain about the weather, and 96 is not particularly here nor there this time of the summer, and we have been totally spoiled by weather in the low to mid 80s, which is coming back next week, by the by. Not that we are nothing but impervious to the fluctuations of temperature around here, but, you know, so it's hot, a lot more time in the car. Of course, last week, pre my minor league illness, there was a lot of running around to get, you know, school supplies and clothes. Although with Jack now, it's great. I just dropped him off at Old Navy, and I said, I'm going to Barnes & Noble. Go pick stuff out, try it on, and call me when you're ready to pay for it. And he did, and I swept in with my credit card, and we paid for it and came home. And the stuff he picked out was nice. It's just t-shirts and shorts, and they all fit. It was all good. But, you know, stuff like that, if you're doing it for several, you know, if you haven't been doing anything and then suddenly you're riding around and battling the crowds at Target, whatever, it's tiresome and tiring. And then going back to school is tiring. And because I was just lying around this weekend not feeling well, there was a lot of kind of back to school cleaning that didn't get done. So I ended up doing a lot of that Tuesday and yesterday. Now this morning I'm back to writing. And today's a little bit of a crazy day because Will's going to the pool after school with his friend Gavin because it's Gavin's birthday. And then Jack's speech coach is coming over at 4. And about 4:30, I'm leaving because I'm going to go have dinner with Annie Smith over in Chapel Hill. And I at 5. It doesn't really take 30 minutes to get to Chapel Hill, but I want to be on time, which means I need to leave early. Anyway, and in fact, she just called so we, make sure I had her cell number and that she had mine. And she's just really lovely. And someone, I think, left a comment. I'm not by my computer. I would tell you who. And I think that it was someone left a comment on last week's episode saying that they had met her or knew her and that she was really as nice as she sounded. And she sounds really, really nice. So I'm looking forward to that, to seeing her. And meeting her and talking some quilty talk, because I am really, I just think it'll be inspiring. And then this weekend, Saturday morning, barring any problems, I will go to Thimble Pleasures. And what I'm thinking about now, of course, is how am I going to quilt the Nova quilt? Now, I've been, every once in a while, I try to do a study, so I have a couple, maybe three quilting classes on Craftsy, which I, of course, have not completed. Who knows? Maybe I will one day, right after I complete my sampler quilt. Right, Jay? Yes, we've been working on that for a while, and all the slowdowns are totally my fault. But yes, one day I will finish all my quilting classes. But one of the things that we haven't really covered, or none of these classes have covered as of yet, they may before it's all over with, is how to choose a quilting design. And so that's what I'm trying to kind of learn and understand. I mean, I did that flying geese, circles of geese quilt this spring. I took the paper piecing class. Was it the spring? I don't know when I took that class. Lord knows. I don't know. I don't know anymore. I turned 50 and it's like the time is just, it's just, like, what year is it? I don't know anymore. Yes, but yeah, so I did that. And the way I figured out a quilting design for it was to look at the teacher's quilt online and just copy. And that pretty much worked for me. And so with the Nova quilt, which is a star quilt, basically, trying to figure out what's the best thing to do. And I was looking at something that Daisy did. Well, I think I was looking at the quilt that Daisy and the Twilters made me. And it's kind of a meandering kind of pattern, but it has a variegated thread that, so that's very, very nice. So thinking about that in terms of the Nova quilt, and then I was reading on some website or another, it was the Common Threads. Is that right? Could that be it? It's a store that Jay like online store that Jay likes a lot. It might be Common Threads. I'll figure it out. I'll try to be good about posting things I talk about on the website. Anyway, whatever it is, Common Threads, Communal Threads, what is it? You guys are going, it's so and so, but maybe it is Common Threads. Anyway, there was a good piece on that was helpful about how to choose a quilting design for your quilt. And one of the things that stayed with me is the writer said, if the quilt you're quilting is a really scrappy quilt, that one you it, it's you want to quilt it all over, and that a meandering or kind of quilting actually makes sense. The fact is, what's going to stand out in your quilt is not the quilting. It's just not that kind of quilt where the quilting is in the forefront. The quilting is much more in the background. Yeah, there was something else that hit me. Did I even write it down? Could I have written something down? Because it seemed important to me at the time. I don't know. I'm walking through. I don't have to go pick up Will today because he's going to the pool with Gavin. Where would I have written it down? Here in the kitchen? No. With the dish. I've already made dinner for my family because, someone's got to, and it's not going to be them. I'm in here in my study, and no, I don't think I wrote it down. Anyway, it was some very profound quilting advice. I'm actually going to look it up. Let's look it up. I found connecting threads. You were thinking about that, weren't you? Yes, connecting threads. All right, so we're looking at the site. This is a tutorial, how to pick the right quilting design for your quilt. I might even link to it in my show notes, such as they are. All right, so she's talking about scrappy quilts. The intended purpose of a scrappy quilt is utilitarian, and this particular quilt she's talking about is probably, but the quilt I'm making, my friend Nancy, the Nova quilt, is also utilitarian, but it's a little bit of a showboat utilitarian quote. A scrappy utilitarian quilt begs for a dense overall edge-to-edge pattern that can withstand a great deal of use in laundry. It can be an inexpensive meandering or stipple design. I don't know, I guess she's talking about if you're taking it out to be long-armed. You want to choose something simple and dense because the busyness of a scrappy piece top does not, and I love this phrase, does not permit optimum visual access to the quilting design, right? Scrappiness, a lot going on. The quilting design is not in the foreground. It's in the background. That was helpful to me. I still have more to learn because it's like, so if you have a quilt that is like this quilt, a design quilt, do you work against the angles by using a meandering or circular or roundish, curvyish kind of style? Or do you echo the angles of the quilt with your quilting style? I don't know. You know, so many of my fellow podcasters do so many, well, helpful things, you know, on their podcasts, really kind of teach you about color, about pattern, or about techniques, and I don't, and there's a good reason for that. And I know also that, you know, not all of y'all do your own quilting. You're too wise for that. You send it out. So I don't know if it would be useful for me to talk about my thoughts. But maybe it would be. Maybe I'll do a study of machine quilting, because even if maybe the more you know, and that's what this tutorial on connecting threads suggests, is even if you're not doing your own quilting, it's a good thing to understand about choices that machine quilters make. It'll help you when you go take your quilt in to understand more what's going to work for your quilt and what you want. So there you have it. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I won't. I always have big ideas. And how many, am I making art quilts right now? No. We have this talk every once in a while about how I'm going to say I'm going to do all these things. Eventually I do them. Eventually I will finish my sampler quilt. In fact, I have my little hexagons, my little hexies cut out, some of them sewn together, and I'm actually looking forward to doing that block, Jay. I am. For those of you newer to the podcast, you may not know that I have been working out. This is probably going on year three of a sampler quilt with art quilt maker, Jay. And we sometimes get slowed down because of me. It's funny. So here's another thing. And I know I say this every once in a while, but I think it's worth repeating that I really recommend Jay's blog, which is called artquiltmaker.com. I'm pretty sure. I will double check, but I feel very strongly that's what it is. And why do I recommend it? One, she updates, I think, daily or close to it. She's often showing you where she is on projects or finished projects. She reads a lot, both quilting books and arts and crafts books, as well as novels, although, whoops. Wait a minute. I've got someone calling me on my phone. Hold up. Okay, that was Sarah, Gavin's mom, just asking where to pick up the boys at school. Now that the boys are in sixth grade, it's a whole new drop-off pickup world. Anyway, Jay's blog. So I don't recall, Jay, do you ever review novels? She's got always got her Goodreads list up, or, you know, it's just her bookshelf, so you can see what she has read recently. But she does review crafts books, and does a lot of neat stuff. Has a creative prompt on Friday, so I go through periods where I read a lot of blogs and I'm very into blogs, and I go through periods where I don't. And so I hadn't been to Jay's in a little while, and I started going back last week. I don't comment all that often, But I just feel like it's a really helpful, fabulous blog. And I think, you know, Jay is such a teacher, and it, I don't know that it's really a teaching blog, although she has done tutorials. But you never feel like there's some quilting blogs I go to, and you have the feeling like here's someone who's hoping she's going to be the next big thing. Right, and so she's building, she's working toward a book, and people do that. People have blogs and turn that blog and, you know, turn their tutorials and their designs into books, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it feels a little bit after a while like so much sales talk. Do you know what I mean? I just feel like we're not having a relationship, me and this blogger. It's like she's building her platform for her book. And Jay, I don't know if, Jay, if I think Jay could write many books about quilting, but I don't know that she has any intention to. So it's kind of refreshing to go and just feel like here's someone who loves quilts, quilt making, and arts and crafts, and wants to share what they're learning and doing and reading for no other reason than sort of the love of sharing. So anyway, yes, and it is www.artquiltmaker.com/blog. So I recommend it. I really just enjoy it, and a lot of bang for your buck over there. So what else do I want to tell you? Oh, another place I've been recently, which if you haven't been, I think you need to go, but if you haven't been recently, you should go. It's the International Quilt Museum. You know, they have a vidcast that you can, if you go to, the address is www.quiltstudy.org, and let me see, you have to go, where do you go to get on to there? I don't know, someplace, I have found it, but I mean, you can also just go to International Quilt Museum on iTunes. And some, you know, there's really interesting stuff. And in fact, I know why I wanted to tell you about this. I bet you go under education. Let me go. They have online exhibitions. Let's go to education. No, I don't know. I know. I kind of hate it when people are kind of going, let me find this. I'm just clicking and click. You're like, just get on with it. Okay, I'm just going to get on with it. Go to iTunes, International Quilt Museum, and a really recent, in fact, I don't know if it's the most recent, it's a fairly recent lecture, is about quilting kits from sort of the history. I haven't finished watching it, so I don't know how much they go into nowadays, right? To more recent kits, but sort of the history of quilting kits and how that got started, and it's very interesting stuff. So I would recommend that. Hold on. Okay, I found it. The lecturer's name is Xenia Cord, and the lecture was June 24th, 2014. So it's just this summer. It's called A Whole New Light, The Significance of 20th Century Kits. It will offer a new perspective on a popular tradition in American quilt making. Cord, the study center's acquisition coordinator, is a scholar, author, dealer, and collector whose expertise extends from early American quilt making to contemporary traditions. Anyway, I've watched probably half, maybe three quarters, and very interesting stuff. So if I think about it, I will put some in the link in my show notes. We'll see if I think about it or not. It's almost time for me to go pick up Jack. And I'm trying to think. I'm going to try to remember to take my recorder tonight and see if I can get Annie Smith, to say something into it. Even if it's just high, just to sort of prove that I'm not making this up. It's not some little, you know, weird fantasy of mine. Yeah, I meet with Annie Smith. Yeah, we're real good friends. It's not. Who could dream that big? I wanted to tell you about that. That's an interesting lecture. That Jay's blog is a great blog. That Maeve Binchy is great. And I'm joined the Marie Bostwick books. I've started another one. I always read about five books at the same time. And it's called Between heaven in Texas. And it's great because there's a character, so that I read a single thread over the weekend, and there's this great character who shows up briefly named Mary Dow, and she is the star of this one. And in fact, now I'm wondering if there are any other character, I can't remember the name of the main character in a single thread, if she shows up in between heaven and Texas. But so far I'm enjoying it. It's very funny. And fun, you know, it's like a single thread's kind of serious, and I've looked at the next book in the series, and that looks kind of serious, but I mean, I liked a single thread. I like the fact that it's pretty character centered, which, you know, it's like, I love a good plot, but I need really good characters and good writing as much as anything. I'll go a long way without a plot. Single thread's got a plot. Don't want to say that it doesn't. It does. So that's what I'm reading. So that's where I am. And I am also, and maybe this will be my picture for the week. So if I post this tomorrow or this weekend, we'll see. I am making some progress on the mosaic quilt. I just decided it was time to do that. So many of you were so kind to send me fabric for that, and it seems so rude not to finish the quilt. I finished the Nova top, or at least without the borders, and I'm kind of like going, okay, now what am I going to do while I wait to go to the quilt store? Also thinking about making some curtains, by the way, because we need some curtains for our bedroom, for the master bedroom. You know, here's the thing. We have lived in this house for 7 years. 7 years. And the curtains that we have are the curtains that came with the house, and they're very nice. They're very high-quality curtains, and I think when they were purchased 20 some years ago, they were fabulous. And now, and they are blackout curtains. There's a blackout lining sewn in, but some of that has kind of peeled away. And so, yeah, it's like these curtains need to go. But they're also I don't even know what you call it. What do you call it? I mean, I really don't. It's not that I've forgotten the term. But essentially, they are on a cord, and they're, so there's a big, what do you call it? I don't know. They're drapes. I don't know. But, you know, so there's a whole, they're rigged. These curtains are not on a simple pull. They're rigged to a device where you can pull the cord up and down, and it opens and closes the curtains. And I'm sure there's a name for that. But that's not even me forgetting. That's me going, no idea what you call that rig that they're rigged to. But it's ugly, and I don't like it, and I want some nice hardware up there. So I've been living with formerly fabulous, now really in bad shape curtains with a really ugly rig, rigged to an ugly rig. And it's time to change all that. It's been time for a while. But getting new curtains potentially involves shopping for curtains. And the problem is that you get something in your mind and you're like, oh, that's not it, that's not it. Or, you know, Pottery Barn has really beautiful curtains at $100 a panel. And that's like $400. We have two windows. That's $400 to put up curtains in my bedroom. And I don't have, if I'm going to spend $400, it's not to put up curtains. And also, we have to have blackout curtains because the man has to have blackout curtains. You know, so that limits that. Then you start getting some very ugly curtain territory. But Pottery Barn does have blackout curtains, or will some, you know, or sells blackout. Also, you can, there's different ways to do the blackout stuff. Anyway, having said all that, and thinking, you know, if I'm going to spend $400 on something, I don't think it's going to be curtains. You know, I wish I were the kind of person who just said, $400 on curtains, that's what we're going to do. But then, I'm not that person. Because you know what? I could make them for, I think, about $200. You know, to get nice fabric. I think maybe less than that. I think maybe I figured out it's about $140, and then you got to get all the hardware. So let's say two. So I think I can make really nice curtains for at least half of that. You know, I don't think a quarter of it but anyway, because I want nice fabric. And so I went to fabric.com and started, you know, it's so fun to do your little wall, your little design wall. And I finally came across this fabric. So our room is painted. It's a periwinkle blue. At certain times of day, it's kind of a baby blue. But at others, it's a very pretty periwinkle. And I found this fabric, at least online, is coral with it. It's got a white print, and it's just an abstracty thing. But it looks really pretty, so I actually ordered a swatch. Which is like, and it's not that expensive. The swatch is like $1.75, and then they charge you like $1.50 to mail it. So I'm actually going to see if that works. I think it will, but of course you need it in real life to see. So yeah, and then you can buy liner. You can buy the blackout liner, and I found a tutorial online. And the fact is, the man and I are the only ones who hang out in that room, so if they're horrible curtains, well, you know, it's okay. They don't have to be perfect curtains. I don't mind if they're not perfect, but I do mind paying $400 to have perfect curtains in a color I might not even like. So that's on my list of things to do, too. But we're taking it slow. We're going to get the swatch. We're going to see if that's really the right color. Yes. So many things on my to-do list, as always. Right now, what's on my to-do list is to go get Jack and then go meet Annie Smith. Very exciting. So I may be back later today. We may have a quilt diary day one, part two. Always a treat. Always a treat to talk to you. More soon. Bye. Okay. So I'm sitting here in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, just hanging out. Who's? Oh, are you Annie Smith? I've been hanging out with Annie Smith. Hi, Annie Smith.
Hi, Frances.
Do you recognize that voice? We've missed you. When are you going to start podcasting again?
As soon as I go home. And so in September. Yeah, in September.
Okay. Well, we've missed you so much. And I, personally, tonight have had such a wonderful time. Aren't quilters the best people ever?
They are, and I'm so happy that we've met. We have so much in common that I really kind of feel like we'd be really good friends if I lived here.
Yes, I think so, too. So I think you should come. Everybody move to North Carolina.
Really?
And we'll have a good time. But no, it's been great.
Yeah.
And we could just sit here, I guess, and gush about how much we like each other and how much we have in common. But we probably shouldn't, because we'll just make everyone else feel bad. And also, people are walking by and going, what are they doing? Yes, she is. She is famous. She is a famous girl. Muggles. They don't even know. So, anyway, well, we'll make this short. But do you have any words for my listeners out there in podcast land?
Wow.
I know.
I'm the one who usually asks that question.
You're on the spot, Annie Smith.
Yeah, you know what? I do. And that is what I tell my students, and that is the quilt that you're currently working on is the one that you are practicing with for the next quilt that you're going to make. And so if you think that your quilts have to be absolutely perfect and you're frustrated because they're not, just look back at the very first quilt you ever made and the one that you're working on now, and you'll realize what a vast technical difference those quilts are, and you'll realize just how truly far that you've come. But yet the quilt that you're working on now is not your masterpiece quilt necessarily, unless of course you're working on one, but somewhere down the road you are honing your skills to make the most magnificent quilt you'll ever make somewhere down the road. And who knows when that's going to be. Just persevere and realize that the quilt that you're working on is your practice piece for the next one you'll do.
I love that so much. That just cheers me and encourages me.
It does. Me too.
Yes.
Frances.
Yeah. Well, Annie, it's so great to meet you, and you're coming back at Christmas, so
yes,
hopefully maybe we'll get to connect then, but if not, the next summer.
Absolutely.
Because Annie comes to Thimble Pleasures and teaches, and so I'm going to get my children out of the house and into the world. I send them to camp all summer so then I can come take your class. That would be fabulous.
Well, and because I am an avid reader and found out that you are an avid writer, I have to check out your books.
Yes.
And because I love reading all levels of writing and books.
Well, good.
Love books.
Yay. Yes, we've had some good book talk, among other things. If someone sounds like they're vacuuming. Okay.
I
they're vacuuming the sidewalks of the University Mall in Chapel Hill. So we will leave you. Well, it's so great to meet you, and we'll be in touch.
Likewise.
Yeah, okay. Quilt Diary Day 2. Well, I should have sat down as soon as I got home last night from my fabulous dinner with Annie Smith and recorded. But the dinner was so fabulous, and we had so much fun talking, that by the time I got home, introvert that I am, I was like talked out. I was like putting on the jams, going to bed. Well, I didn't really go right to bed. The man and I are watching The Wire this summer, so we watched an episode. But Annie Smith, a lovely person. I have about 3 minutes of a little sit-down we did outside the restaurant. For those of you familiar with the area, we went to a Southern Season in Chapel Hill, a wonderful, wonderful restaurant. And it's the week before the Chapel Hill schools open, and so there are not many people around. A lot of people go out of town the last week before school starts. So it was great. It wasn't crowded, and we had very lovely service from Jorge. So who was quite an attentive but not overly attentive waiter, and the food was fabulous, and Annie was fabulous. What fun. And we talked, of course, we talked about quilting, but we talked about families, and we talked about books, and she's a voracious reader, so that was fun. And we did, of course, talked about quilting, and one of the things that was so interesting to me, and I would love to talk to her more about, but she judges a lot of quilt competitions. And so, and we were talking about that, and I was interested, like, what, as a judge, what are you looking for? And what's more important, sort of creative genius or perfect stitches? And, you know, sometimes one trumps and sometimes the other trumps. But just, yeah, it was fascinating. And we talked about our love of old quilts and quilting history, and our admiration for Barbara Brackman, the quilt scholar, who's just done amazing and really important work on quilt history, which, you know, just interests me so much. And particularly for me, of course, I'm interested in the quilts, and I'm interested in the women who made the quilts. And by the way, if you're on Pinterest, you can find, I mean, there's so much great stuff about quilting, like what's going on now. You can find quilting tutorials and just beautiful quilts to love and admire. But I found a board today, which I haven't taken everything off of it, but which inspired me to start my own board, which I think if I named it, you know, Women Who Quilt, something like that. But the board that I found, which I think was also called Women Who Quilt, it was a lot of vintage photography. You know, it's a lot of quilting bees, like some, you know, 1920s or 1890s. Some of these photographs are really old. And you know what? And I have a book about sort of the history of English quilt making, but that's quite a history too. You know, I think I've read much more deeply, not that I've read really that deeply into the history of quilt making, but mostly what I've studied and read about is American quilting. But the Brits have a lot going on as well. So anyway, so if you follow me on Pinterest, know that I'm doing that, that I'm starting to collect these vintage photographs of women quilting, as well as just quilts in general. But anyway, back to Annie. What I'm very excited to let you know is that she's going to start podcasting again. You know, she was really the first quilty podcaster. I believe she started in 2005. If you have not gone through, I don't know what's available on iTunes, how far that back that goes, and what's available on her website. But I can tell you, whatever you can get a hold of, if you haven't, it's really worth listening to. She did lots and lots of interviews with all kinds of people, and she's very, you know, connected in the industry. And, you know, but one of the things we talked about in terms of podcasting is, you know, podcasts are organic things. They grow and change. And, you know, I've always kind of wanted to go, to be more structured. But, you know, if you've listened to me for any amount of time, you know, I'm not that structured. And I might for a while, for a month, might have, here, let's be very structured. And here's this section and here's this section. And now we're going to talk about quilt history. And now we're going to talk, you know, and that would last for a month. And I think that also doing that puts a lot of pressure on you to come up with material. And I know that there are people Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us, who do a more structured, have interviews, have actual things to offer. And it's not just rambling or saying, here's what here's what happened at my guild meeting, but let's talk about these tools, let me review these books. And but that takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of preparation to do well. And I know for me personally, I wouldn't, after a while, I would just pod fade. And, and I've pod faded a bit over the last year, but some of that was just personal stuff going on, as well as sort of having a very quiet year in a lot of ways. But I feel so it's Friday, August 22nd, and I think I posted an episode last week, and I imagine I'll post this episode tomorrow. My plan is to go to Thimble Pleasures fairly early and get the fabric to finish up the Nova top. And so at least I can have a picture. I will have a picture of me and Annie Smith, but of course, and have a picture of the fabric, and who knows, maybe Travis is sitting here snoozing. Maybe I'll have a picture of Travis. You never know what delights await you. So I think with Annie was doing a very structured podcast, a very content enriched podcast, unlike this one. But it's a lot of work. And when I asked her about her returning to podcasting, she thought she was going to this fall. And when I asked her, what was she going to do differently? And she thought it was going to be more talking about, her projects and what she sees, when she goes to shows, talking about the quilt she's looking at, and be a little more, bring it on home a little bit more. Make it a little bit more Annie-centric, which, believe me, I think would be a great thing, because she is, if you've ever listened, again, if you haven't, you should. She has a lovely voice. She is lovely, but she has a lovely voice, and very warm and personable, which is, she's just one of those people we met, we hugged. It had to happen. There had to be hugging. And she is just a warm person in person, but that certainly comes over on her podcast. And so I think more Annie, the better, quite frankly. So we had a great time. And it was so fun for me. And I want her to move here. And her son lives here. And her grandchildren, two of them at least, live here. So I think that she should live here with her husband. And then she could be my quilty friend. Because, I don't really have a good quilting friend. I feel really fortunate through this online community. There are people who I'm friends with. Obviously, you guys, the twilters are making me quilts. but I do. And I also have some people I email with and have seen in real life. And actually, I was just thinking about that today. I don't know if anyone's got any plans for the spring. Is there any talk about trying to do a meetup at a show, at a big show? I don't know. One day, Paducah, I wish they need a couple more hotels. We need to figure out a way to get my mom down there because she would love it. But anyway, so I do feel like I have quilting friends. And obviously my mom is my quilting friend, and she's a quilting friend I can call up and say, oh, I'm working on this, or I just messed this up. Or she can call me up and say, guess what? Getting the new Quilters Edition Bernina. she's back. She's back to Bernina. So that's a wonderful thing. But it would be fun to have a local quilting friend. And I wish I were better with guilds, but I just, I'm not a good group person. But if the group is more than three people or four people, I can do four people. But beyond that, we're not going to go into why I'm not involved in the guild here. I am excited because it is the guild, the Durham Orange Quilt Guild here. They do their show every other year. And so this is the year of the big show. And that's always wonderful. So I'm excited about that. Anyway, Annie Smith, fabulous. Cannot wait for her to start podcasting again. I have missed her, and I'm really happy she's coming back to the airwaves, to the podcast waves, to homemade radio. That's what this is. So that was a good time. It really was. Annie, thank you so much. If you're listening to this, I'm just thrilled that she listens to my podcast. Oh, it's exciting. So I think that is it for right now, because I've just actually been out in the garden, trying to avoid the copperheads. I didn't see any, and I wore boots and long pants, which when it's, 90 degrees is a little uncomfortable. But the garden is at this place where it's just the end of the season. And we're still getting some tomatoes, but you're getting the end of the season tomatoes, and they're smaller, and they kind of get eaten up by critter bugs and a little more diseased, a little more quickly kind of thing. And we do them organically, so I don't spray with anything at all. It's kind of beginning of the school year, and Jack needs to mow the lawn, but every time he's about to mow the lawn, it rains, and so the backyard's really a mess. So I was out back there, but I realized I came in, did my Fitbit. I am so far down in the Fitbit rankings now. And somebody who's probably a quilter, probably listens to podcasts, I can't remember her name, but just, asked me to be her friend on Fitbit. And I know I should do it, but every time I do that, I go lower in the ranks because the new person just comes in and they're excited. And yeah, so I'm like, I don't know. If I get any more friends, I'm going to be like so far down. And Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us, she's apparently she's building up steam, so she's mocking me. She sends me mocking messages, yes. So just wait till the fall, Sandy. And by the way, Annie Smith, she knits. Just saying. I had some idea that you and I would sit down together and go over the new Fonz and Porter for the Love of Quilting magazine, but I don't think I'm going to do that now. I actually went through, I was just reading, and marked the quilts that I like. There are, in this most recent issue, which I don't know if it's September, it may even be October 2014, but I just got in the mail. My mother subscribed to it for me. There are a bunch of really nice quilts, so maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow. Maybe we'll just, just leaf through a magazine together, or maybe we won't. But if we don't, you should get it. If you were thinking, should I get this month? I would say yes. I mean, I found at least five quilts that I'm not necessarily going to make, but I really liked and could get my mind around making them. But I've got to finish what I got on my plate right now. So, yes. Annie Smith. I have reported on Annie Smith, and I know, I'm sure now, later, after I post this episode, I'm like, oh, I was going to tell him that she said so-and-so, but there's, in fact, what we're going to do right now, I'm going to say goodbye, and then you can listen to a few minutes of the fabulous Annie Smith saying hello to you. Okay, bye for now. Quilt Diary Day 3, it's Saturday, August 23rd. I thought of something that Annie Smith, that is, Annie to me, that we talked about at dinner that I really wanted to share, because I just thought it was so interesting. So Annie, when she comes to Chapel Hill in the summer and stays for a long time with her son, she teaches at Nimble Pleasures. And so far, I've not been able to take a class with her, but I hope I will soon. One of the classes that she has taught is about choosing your fabrics. And what Annie says is that, so many quilters will say, oh, I just have a hard time picking colors. And in her experience, that's not true. Most quilters she knows actually have a very good eye for color. And it's one of the reasons that we love making quilts, because we love color and fall in love with color and fabric and what have you. But she said, really where people stumble is with value, because of course you want light, medium, and dark colors in your quilt. And she said, it's not our fault. This made me so happy to hear. It's not our fault. And the reason why is that manufacturers, don't give us a very wide range. And in fact, I think this was the breakdown. It's close, if not right. I think this is the breakdown that Annie gave, that in a fabric line, 10% of the fabric will be light, 15% will be darks, And then the middle 75% will be, of course, medium. And so if you have been like me in the past, trying to choose fabrics for a quilt and having a really difficult time and feeling like, oh, you're not really picking light, medium, and darks. What you're picking is light, medium, 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 and dark, medium, which you kind of, you know, just get muddy and it's not enough contrast. There's a reason for that. And that is quite simply that there are not that many lights or darks available. And she said that she has talked to designers who are very frustrated that they design fabric lines where there are more lights and darks, so that it's a more even distribution of light, medium, and dark. But the manufacturers just kind of go, we want to print, we want to produce primarily medium fabrics. Don't know why. I don't know if it's one of those, well, mediums are what sell, but it's like, well, yeah, because mediums are what available, or even if everything were evenly available, mediums would still be the best-selling value. And so their idea is let's produce mostly mediums. I can't tell you. Just that was freeing in a way. It's frustrating because you're like, okay, it doesn't change the problem of having to find contrasting fabrics, needing lights, needing darks, and not really being able to find them. But at least you know it's not you. So at least that bit of crazy making can stop. Anyway, I'm very much hoping that Annie's going to teach this class next summer and that I would be able to work a way to do that. Will's about to turn 12, and if she did a class and it was, say, from 10 to 4. I mean, on one day I could do it. I could make arrangements for Will to hang out with Gavin or something. But it's not, you know, what if it's a week-long thing? I don't know, during the day. Then I can't, you know, I'm just not ready to leave Will alone for all day, quite frankly. Even if Jack is here, because Jack is usually in Jack world. So anyway, but I would love to take a class on choosing fabric. I just think that would be so, so very useful, so very helpful. So that was something I wanted to share with you. The other thing. So, you know, Annie Smith, Annie to me, she teaches all over the country. She travels a good bit. I think she's trying to not travel so much. I think she wants to be home a little bit more and working on her own stuff a little bit more. But she travels to teach all the time. And she said, in her opinion, from her experience, that Thimble Pleasures is the best quilt shop in the country. Maybe I shouldn't share that because maybe now other quilt shops will snub her. I just wanted to brag on my Thimble Pleasure gals. You know, it's a great quilt shop, and everyone should come, and then other quilt shops can. I mean, they're great quilt shops everywhere, so it's not like it's the only good one, but it is a great, great shop. And for me, it's the fabrics. Although, you know, they don't carry very many pre-cuts. There's another quilt shop that's it's probably about 30 minutes from here. I think it's called Wish Upon a Quilt. It's in North Raleigh. That is very fun, and Annie likes that one too. That carries tons of pre-cuts, so that's a very fun shop. But Thimble Pleasures is just the range of fabric. It's also a Bernina shop, and you know, so that's if you're Bernina person, as I am, and well, as is Annie, that's Annie Smith, Annie to me. You know, then that's a happy coincidence right there. We've got the Berninas. Just an incredibly helpful staff. Now, my guess is that I've yet to walk into a quilt shop that didn't have an incredibly helpful staff, but I really love these women at Thimble Pleasures. So, that just pleased me. Annie, I hope I'm not like ruining like any celebrity endorsement possibilities with other shops. We all know lots and lots and lots of good shops all over the country, but you know, once you've come to Thimble Pleasures, you're just like, this is wonderful. Now, there are probably people here in the Triangle who disagree. So, hey, you know. But Annie and I, we agree. Yeah, I have not been to quilt shops all over the country. My mom goes to a really nice one in Louisville. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We're not going to start a quilt shop war. All right, that's not happening on this podcast. I did go to Temple Pleasures this morning, as I think maybe I started to say, maybe didn't, and bought some beautiful fabric, got good help. This always, I always ask for help, because what is very useful for me to have someone go, it kind of lead me to where the path is. Once I'm on the path of possible colorways, I am good. I can pick those colors. But it's really helpful to have someone with me saying, here's where the path is. All right, here's the woods. That would be the mini, mini rows of fabric. You're going to take that path into the woods. And once, then I'm good. Then I'm good. Then I can follow the cookie crumb trail and get to where I want. So here's my plan. It's about noon, Saturday. I'm going to eat lunch. One of the many reasons I'm glad I went to Thimble Pleasures today, because I saw the notification that the Durham Orange Quilt Guild, the big show, is today. It's today and tomorrow. Usually it's in September, but apparently something happened. They got kicked out of their usual space, which is way too... I don't know that they got... as the man said, yeah, probably because they partied so hard the last time. Possibly. But I don't know why. But apparently they had a date, and for some reason it didn't work out. Something happened. And so now they're in the Durham Convention Center, and it's today and tomorrow. I had no idea. So I'm really out of the whole Quilt Guild thing. As you can see, that's how clueless I am. But I think I'm going to go this afternoon. I am washing, by the way, my fabrics that I bought today, because the couple of them, the border, the inner and outer border, are fairly dark. One's a really beautiful purple. And I'm glad I did. I've washed those. I just washed those with some color catchers, and the color catchers caught some color. Say that three times fast. So I'm really glad I did that. So now I'm washing the backing, just, you know, cause that's, I don't wash, but I wish I had washed my darks. I always forget with batiks, you really should wash. And I'm a little scared actually, with those dark batiks, with the top, because they could do some damage, but at least I've eliminated damage potential from the borders and the back. And, you know, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Anyone got some ideas? If you've got an idea, I mean, so I use color catchers, the Shout color catcher, but there may be something even better. Jack is walking by. He walked up here and saw me. Hold on. I wonder if I'll edit that. I don't know. Anyway, Jack passed by earlier, and I'm sitting in Will's room because everyone else is downstairs and it's too humid to go outside. I paused when Jack came up and said, I'm podcasting. He just rolled his eyes. I don't know, why would he roll his eyes? And smiled. It wasn't like a mean eye rolling. It was more like, aren't you just silly and cute kind of thing. Like, well, I don't know why. Yeah. Anyway, so I usually use the Shout color catchers. I don't know. Why don't I think about these things? I really wish I had thought about that with the dark batiks in this quilt top. So do you have a better idea? Is there something else I can do to prevent the color from getting messed up? Let me know. Let me have your thoughts. So washing, drying, those fabrics gonna go down to the quilt show. And you know, I can only do like an hour. I just can't do more than that. I can't shop. I can't museums, whatever, an hour. I'm really good. So, and then I'm going to come back and get to work. So I don't know. I will probably have, this could be a really long podcast. I should probably end up now and then I'll come back. I might have some comments about the quilt show, but maybe they could be for next week. Yeah, I'm going to end up here. Do you know what I am? And then, yes, so, yeah, so I hope you have a good week. I hope you're getting work done or feeling inspired, or by the prospect of fall is making you happy, etc. Or if you're in Australia, the prospect of spring, whatever prospect is before you, I hope it's making you happy and excited and feeling creative. And let's remember that life is short, quilt first. Bye.